Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artists First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard, and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning in to Chit Chat Cafe. This show airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about this show and listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/chitchat.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle at @artist_first. And now here are your hosts of Chit Chat Cafe, Lisa and Betty Ann.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Chit Chat Cafe. We're airing live from Artist First World Radio, and we're really excited tonight. We have some great guests. Hi, Betty Ann.
Hi, Lisa.
We better get started because we're running late already.
I know. I'm so excited to talk to Deborah. Deborah's waiting.
Well, without further ado, let's introduce our first guest. She is the go-to manicurist for all the most fashionable magazines and the most renowned fashion houses in the world. Welcome, Deborah Lipman.
Hello. Hello, hello. Thank you for having me again.
You're at HSN right now. Tell us all about what is going on. You have a lot of exciting things.
Oh my gosh, it's such an exciting day for me. I'm at HSN, and I'm part of a collaboration that were products that were designed inspired by the TV show phenomenon True Blood. And there's a beautiful fragrance that was designed, and we are part of this collaboration that has beautiful candles, a gorgeous, sensual, sexy fragrance that is in this absolutely drop-dead looking bottle that I absolutely want to have on my vanity that when you turn the bottle, it's a clear fragrance, but it looks like there's blood in the bottle. It's so amazing.
Cool.
It's very, very, very cool. If you want to turn your TVs on now, but turn the volume down while we're talking, you can see the bottle right. I'm looking at it over my shoulder. But it's a really beautiful fragrance, and we did several products for HBO for True Blood, inspired by True Blood. And I actually made this beautiful, of course, blood red nail lacquer that we named Let It Bleed. And I took the Forsaken fragrance, which is so gorgeous, and I infused it in the nail lacquer. And so when you put it on your nails, you don't smell it initially when you get the bottle home. You don't smell it until the polish starts to dry on your nails.
Oh, that's cool.
And so you just all of a sudden, like you kind of polish your nails and you forget that it's in there until it starts to dry. And then you move your hand and you're like, oh my gosh, it's literally intoxicating. Every time my hand goes near my nose, I just kind of like do this triple inhale and my eyes roll back in my head, literally. My husband's like, you're a crack addict for this fragrance. I love it so much. It's delicious. And then we paired that with our very first ever lipstick, which has been a long time coming. It's something we've wanted to do with our brand. And when HBO asked me to do this, James Costa, who's the international head of licensing for HBO, approached us to do this. I was like, how can I say no? You have to have a red lip with an HBO, with a True Blood partnership, right?
Right.
So I made a really cool lipstick, and it's called Bite Me. So you can take that where you want to go, but it's like a really nice formula that is very layerable. So I'm a real girl, and I'm asked all the time about color and how do you wear your lipstick with your nail polish? How am I supposed to pair these per season? So what I did with this particular lip color was make it on the initial application. It's like a berry stain, almost like a blackberry stain on the lip.
Ooh.
And so it's very soft. It's, you know, it's just like a little hint of a berry color. And then if you want to layer it on, so you could wear it to the office like that, and then if it's time to go out at night and you want to bust out like a darker red lip, you just layer more of that lip color on, and it becomes super, super dark and really sexy. It's very moisturizing. There are no parabens in it. They're essential oils. It's very hydrating. And a couple weeks ago, we actually did a press launch in New York, and Kristen Bauer, who plays Pam on the show, who's super, super, super hot and sexy, vampy girl, used the lipstick and the nail polish. And halfway through the evening, it was a big press event with cameras, and you know, she was on the red carpet forever, taking pictures forever. And about 2.5 hours into the event, I was walking past her, and she grabbed my arm, and she was like, I've got to tell you, I am totally in love with this formula. I've not had to reapply it to my lips, but it doesn't feel like it hasn't stained them in a drying way. It's like the color is there. It's not moving. My lips feel moisturized, and it stays on, which is which is what we want. We don't want to feel sticky. It's not a sticky formula. Mm-hmm. So it's a thrilling day for us, and it actually, that particular set actually sold out on my last show here. So it was really thrilling to have my first lip product finally on the market, and there are more to follow. There are going to be a few other things that are launching from me, lip and nail sets that will be in all my retailers probably next week, actually, that are different colors. So it's just a big, big extension for me.
Wow. Sounds beautiful for the fall.
It's really, really pretty for the fall. And then when I go back on the air in a half an hour and maybe 15 minutes now, there are two other sets that we created. One is called Suki Suki, obviously inspired by Suki. And there's a beautiful color because she's sort of half woman, half human, half fairy. I made a very neutral, kind of a grayish, cream grayish that's not gray and it's not taupe. It's somewhere right in the middle. So it's a really cool, modern, neutral, a little bit dirty for the New Orleans feel where the show takes place. And then there's another shade paired with it called Fairy Dust that I'm actually wearing myself right now that is a white, which is a nice trend. It's a pretty strong trend as a white nail, but this has an opalescence in it. So it's really kind of inspired by her fairy side. And then there's another set that's called Bad Blood Bad Things, actually. And there's a color in it called Bad Blood that's a sheer red that sort of looks like the lipstick looks like on the first pass. It's like a berry stain. It's like a boysenberry stain on the nail. So it's see-through. It's red, but it's see-through, mm-hmm. kind of a jelly formula. And then a color called Strange Fruit that we were kind of, it's a magenta, and we were sort of inspired by Jessica. There were so many great women characters in True Blood to be inspired by. I just had a total ball. And then there's another color called Human Nature, Fairy Dust. Anyway, there's a third nude called total brain freeze. It's a nude, like almost a peachy beigey flesh. It's called New Flesh. Duh. New Ooh. Flesh. And it's a peachy, it's sort of a, like, I mean, for True Blood, right? If you're a vampire and you're being reborn, you got to mm-hmm. have new flesh. And it's a fleshy color. So it has more of a peach undertone, a peachy beige undertone, and it's totally opaque, really clean looking, and it just looks like an extension of your fingers. So that's what I'm doing. It's been a busy that's just the last 24 hours.
Wow. So you're going to get into the lipstick business. That's good.
It's going to depend on the season. For this, for going into fall, I created three sets that'll be in store very soon that are coordinating lip and nail color. So they're not necessarily matchy-matchy. In different seasons, I might have different feelings, but I think that, you know, our lips and our toes and our fingers don't have to match right now. It's, right. You know, you want them to maybe coordinate and be in the same family, but they definitely don't have to be matchy-matchy. So in the stores, there'll be a nail color and a lip color that is coordinating in, beautiful nude, kind of a mauvey, a little bit of a mauvey pink lip color that's very buildable. And the formula on the lip colors that will be in store is a hybrid between a lipstick and a lip gloss. So when you apply it, it's in a bullet, but when you put it on your lips, it has a bit of a shine. And it's funny because my name, you guys, since my name is Lipman, I cannot tell you, for 13 years since I launched my brand, women have been asking me what color lipstick to wear. Because my name is Lipman. They'd come to my website, what lipstick should I wear? Well, you could call my friend Laura Mercier. So we finally felt like it just made sense, and I think pairing lip with nail makes a lot of sense. And you know, I'm a real girl who loves lipstick. And so I really I created a formula that I think is, you know, it may eventually, because it's so buildable, you put it on one layer and it's going to be soft, and then you can go, okay, I'm a little braver now, let me layer a little bit more on. But your lips are never going to feel like you have thick, gooey lipstick on. You can sort of play with going darker and darker with whatever shade that you're going to try out of my options. So you can't make a mistake.
What is trending for the fall?
Trending for the fall are going to be for nails. I am really seeing a really strong mauve trend in the purple family. So for fall, I created a color called Modern Love that is You know, I kind of think it from the 80s, like an old lady mauve. I used to call it old lady mauve, but it's, to me, that's like the chicest new way to wear your nails. It's an opaque, really, really creamy formula that is mauve. So it's a new way to wear, a new, more modern way, and a more girly way to wear the nude nail, as opposed to the grays and the greiges and the taupes that we've been wearing. The mauve is more feminine. And then I create a color called Let's Go Crazy. And it is, you know, I always in the fall want to do something that is jewel tone based. And so this is like a sheer purple. It has a little bit more pigment than some of my glitters. It definitely gives you a purple feeling a la Prince. And multicolor glitter that you've come to know me for, the multi-sizes and multi-colors of glitter. And it's really, really a happy, fun, partying, I'm not afraid to make a statement with my nails color. Fabulous for your toes. If you're not brave enough to wear it on your nails, that's okay, because I think we're all braver to try fun and different colors on our toes than we are for our fingers.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, Deborah. This is Betty Ann. Tell us how you develop nail polish color. I mean, what the process is.
Well, it depends on the day. Sometimes I just envision something in my mind. Sometimes I have an idea. Maybe I see a stone on the street that has, you know, a kind of a weird green in it, and it inspires me, and I take it to the lab, and I start mixing. You start to mix pigment until I kind of get to something that I think is interesting. And sometimes I start out with a photo or a piece of fabric or somebody's hair color. I'm forever like, can I photograph your hair color? And there's like maybe a couple of strands of hair that are the right color that's like catches my eye. And I use that as sort of a jumping off place. And I sit in the lab and I start to mix colors and I make version after version after version. And sometimes I do it in one day, and sometimes it takes weeks or months, or in a couple cases, years, to really get what I'm seeing in my head or get something that I think is interesting and new and worth putting out there. So it's always different. It always comes from different places.
When you created the True Blood collection, did you base your colors off of blood?
Well,
I mean, I just have to ask that question.
I mean, I have to say, you guys, like, people would probably, yeah, of course. I mean, we looked at all different kinds of blood. We looked at dried blood. We had working titles in the office dried blood was actually a working title of one of the colors for a long time. And it's like it's not that we really wanted it to look like dried blood in the end, but it was an inspiration point. And so, yeah, we got pretty down and dirty with Forsaken and the whole, you know, sensual feeling of the show and kind of the highlights and the underbelly. And, you know, there were so many things. We looked at all the characters. We looked at the relationships. It was really, really a fun project, because it's just, that show is so full of character. It was really hard to narrow it down. I wanted to make a lot more than I did, so maybe there'll be a True Blood too. We'll have to see.
Definitely, because I just am so excited about this line. And when I saw that there was a fragrance, I mean, there's so many other things that you can purchase. It's just fabulous. Love the show.
Oh my gosh!
It's like you're part of it when you can wear a fragrance or put nail polish on that is something that is maybe one of the characters is wearing in the show. Like, you feel like you're part of the show.
Exactly. It's a really like a heart connector in a way. And and I have to tell you that the host that I'm about to go on with, Colleen Lopez, who's doing this hour show, wore the fragrance, I guess, for the last couple of days or a week at home, and she's like, my husband is chasing me around the house. I'm not kidding. it's like he's chasing me. And there have been several people who've worn it who are saying that. And, you know, I mean, it's a very sensual, hot, sexy show. So I absolutely, I'm not just saying this, I absolutely love the fragrance. And the other thing I want to say is that before I got involved in this project, I hadn't watched True Blood. I didn't start it from the beginning when it first started. So, like, occasionally I'd be over at a friend's house and it'd be Sunday night, they'd be like, oh, let's watch True Blood. And you're, like, in season two or you're at the end of season one, and they would pop on the show and I'd be like, ooh, vampires, ooh, no, it's not for me. Ooh, I'm scared of the show. Ooh, it's too dark. And so I didn't get into it until this project came along, and a couple of people said, don't watch this Sunday, go back to season one, episode one. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I don't know, let me just, you know, and I would like pop in, you know, on Sunday night and start to watch something. And I finally watched episode one, season one, and you fall in love with the characters. You fall in love with the characters. Right. I was so enthralled with their relationships, and I mean, I totally get it. I'm a Truby now. I learned that term today.
Yeah.
I'm a Truby.
Yeah, I believe I read the books before the show came out.
You were ahead of the game.
The show came out. I know.
I love it.
And my husband was like, "What are you reading them for?" But I love it. It's just so spectacular, and I love this collection. And we're so happy that we were able to have you on tonight, and you could tell us all about it. I know that you have to get back now to do another, you know, show on HSN, but. You know, we'd love to have you back again sometime.
I love our Twitter relationship, and I love talking to you, and I would love to do it again anytime. And thanks for being so patient with figuring out the timing tonight with
this crazy
TV schedule.
No problem.
So everybody at HSN says hi. They were all so accommodating, finding me a phone in a quiet space. So everybody was all excited that I was talking to you. So everybody's all abuzz about it.
Oh, great. Tell them we said hello.
I will.
Maybe you can give us a shout out.
I'm going to do my best.
Okay. Thanks.
I definitely tweeted just before we went on. Bye, girls. I'll talk to you soon. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Thanks.
Night. Thanks.
Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to be back with Danielle Gatti, and she has a heartwarming story for everyone. Stay tuned.
Now back to Chit Chat Cafe on the Artist First World Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. I have a very, how do I put this? I saw this on Facebook, and it broke my heart. So I wanted to help and try to do something. I'd like to introduce our next guest. Her name is Danielle Gatti.
And hi.
She's so sweet. Welcome, Danielle, to our show.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. I would like you to tell everyone your story. Tell us about
Matthew.
Tell us about Matthew, and it's like a young love story, and it just broke my heart, and I want to help.
Well, thank you. Matt and I have been together for 6 years in October, and about a year into being together, he started not feeling well, and we went back and forth to hospital visits trying to figure out what was going on, and he was showing a lot of different symptoms, but nobody could really figure out what it was for a few months. And then he was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease called IgA nephropathy that attacked his kidney, both kidneys, really fast. Originally, they told him, you know, here's a lineup of medication, and you're looking at a kidney transplant about 25 years from now. And they watched him really closely, and both kidneys failed within 1 year of that time.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, really great. I mean, they told him he was, like, textbook material. Nobody had really ever seen anything like this. And then he was transplanted in 2008. This incredible woman who literally was in the backyard of Matt's mom in New Jersey. She read, you know, we kind of did a similar campaign to what we're doing now, email and all that stuff, and she read about it, and she called us and said, I want to donate my kidney to your son. No questions asked. This is, you know, she's religious. She said she saw a sign from God that this is what she wants to do. She's amazing. She has four kids. She gave him a kidney, and everything was perfect. And then, sure enough, things took a turn for the worse about, I would say, last September, so almost a year ago. The disease kind of came back and started being active again, and we tried a bunch of meds, and, you know, just they watched him, and we're in the same place we were in 2008, where he desperately needs another kidney. The new one is he's pretty much at, like, 9% kidney function. That said, he's the strongest, most incredible human being I've ever met in my entire life. He's a fighter. Hello?
Yes, no.
Oh, sorry.
We're here.
He goes to work every day, and he just doesn't, you know, he doesn't want to be treated differently. He's really amazing. I mean, he's human. Obviously, he has bad days given the situation. But we're just trying right now, you know, through Facebook and Twitter and all these amazing things that are out there to raise awareness and get him a kidney. That's what's going on.
Now, what is his blood type? Is O positive?
His blood type is O positive, but he can accept from O positive or O negative. So the kind of the first step is A, somebody who pretty much knows they're healthy and that blood type, and then they can contact us. I can give you guys the website and my email at the end of the show, and they contact us. If they're interested, we send them a donor form through our hospital. We're at Columbia Presbyterian in New York, and they fill it out, and then everything is handled through Columbia from there. So it's a blood test to see if, you know, certain antigens match, and then more testing from there. But the blood type is the first step and a really good start.
How old is Matthew?
Matt is 25.
Oh, God bless him.
Yeah, bless him. He's unbelievable. If you met him, you would have no clue that he was not well. He just doesn't. He's really amazing.
Well, I where can they get? Do you want to give out your the information? We have.
Yeah, sure. So our website, where you can kind of read all about the story and learn about his disease and, of course, what it's like to be a donor, is needakidney.org. It's www.needakidney.org. And also, for anybody who is interested in becoming a donor, it's a relatively easy process.
You can live with one kidney.
Oh, yeah. You can totally live with one kidney. That's what's so amazing. I mean, you give a kidney and you're out of the hospital, you know, if all goes well in 2 to 3 days, and you can pretty much do everything back to normal. Our first donor in 2008 woke up the next morning, and I went in to see her, and she asked me, can I get out of here? All I want is a latte. Like, she just wanted to get out. She felt good. She went back to, you know, taking her kids to school and living her life a week later. So it's really amazing, because you have the only way that it affects your life is that you actually save somebody else's, and that's, I think.
So that is,
you know,
an amazing thing.
Yeah, it's really amazing. If I was his blood type, I would have done this weeks ago. I would have done it the first time, but unfortunately I'm not. His parents aren't. But there are definitely people out there who are and who are willing to do this. We just have to find them.
Because I think O positive, I think, is one of the most popular blood types, isn't it?
Yeah, O positive is, so O positive can give to anybody, which is great.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
But can only receive from O. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of O's out there.
Now, is this hereditary? Does someone else in his family have the same condition, or is it just like
Nobody in the family has the condition. To our knowledge, it's not hereditary. It sort of came out of nowhere. I mean, is it possible that it was, you know, that there were signs of it when he was younger and nobody caught it? Possibly, but right now, it's for us, it came out of nowhere. And the hope is, obviously, that ultimately we can start helping to fund research to actually find out how to cure or at least prevent the disease from coming back so this doesn't happen again.
Oh, my God. I hope.
Wow. Yeah.
It's amazing.
I mean, we don't have a crystal ball. You know, nobody knows. The doctors can do things. Oh, hello?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. My phone cut off.
Very lucky also to have such a loving, caring girlfriend.
I can't hear you. Hello?
Can you hear us?
Oh, now I can. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
What did you say?
I'm lucky to have a girlfriend like you.
Oh, thank you so much. You know what? It happened so early on in our relationship, and you sort of have a choice, and I love him, and, you know, I figured I would just ride this out with him and see what happens, and, you know, it's a lesson to learn when you're my age. It's a hard lesson to learn, but it definitely puts things into perspective.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, the little stuff that used to make me crazy I don't even flinch. I just don't care. And hopefully other people can learn that kind of lesson, but not through these kinds of circumstances.
What do you and Matthew do for a living?
I am in PR. I represent a bunch of jewelry designers in a showroom in Soho in New York. And Matt is in finance. He's actually about to start a new job on Monday, really his dream job. So with every piece of bad news, there's something really exciting going on, which is good.
Now, does health insurance cover transplants?
Yes. So health insurance covers, obviously, you know, for the recipient. And then for the donor, everything is covered through the recipient's insurance. So it has no bearing on their actual coverage or plan. It's pretty amazing, and obviously any expenses related to, you know, if a donor is from out of town or whatever it is, if they come in for testing, you know, that's something we would take care of A to Z.
Danielle, this is Betty Ann. What is Matt's everyday routine like? I know that you say he acts like nothing's wrong, but obviously he's got to have a lot of struggles.
Sure.
Can you describe that?
Yeah. I mean, I would say what makes him probably the most, I guess, different from you and I is that because of all of the medication that he's on, his immune system is completely suppressed. So, you know, you might get a cold or I might get a cold and it's really no big deal. But if he gets a cold, it could be any, you know, it's a risk of infection because he has no immune system. So that said, the other, you know, the one thing I would say that kind of changes his day and daily routine is probably exhaustion. You know, we could walk up and down the streets of the city for, you know, 8, 9, 10 hours. He probably gets a little bit more, a lot more tired, within, you know, the first few hours. So, you know, he sometimes can't get through a full work day yes, he definitely has struggles. But he kind of pushes through because he really just doesn't want to not be working a full work day or not enjoy the weekend. Mm-hmm. So he kind of does everything he can. You know, he takes good care of himself. He eats really well. He works out, not to the point, you know, he doesn't push himself because the doctors don't want him to. But he does do everything he can to keep himself pretty strong.
Is he on dialysis?
That is what we are trying to avoid.
Right
now, based on his kidney function, he should be, but based on how he's feeling on a day-to-day basis, we could probably, you know, push to avoid that and go directly to transplant. Because he's so young, transplant is really optimal. That's why, you know, hence the push for a donor as soon as possible, because, you know, that would completely change his daily routine because it's, you know, whether or not he does it at home or in a dialysis center, you know, it's 3, 4, 5 hours a day, you know, with a port inside of him. And,
yeah,
that's a game changer. If he has to do it, he most certainly will, you know, if that's the only thing that's going to make him function. But Yeah. Right now, knock on wood, we'd love to avoid it if we can.
Is he on a donor list at the hospital?
Sorry?
Is he on a donor list at the hospital?
Yes, he's on a donor list at Columbia, and they are helping us get on lists at other hospitals, too. You know, there's kind of each list moves at a different pace. Most of them take pretty long. That's why we're trying to go this route of just getting the word out there. And the response has been really amazing, but we need more responses right
sure,
now.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, what would be amazing, especially with the power of social media, is if after we get him transplanted, you know, we have a group of people who want to be organ donors and help others. So maybe we could ultimately pair them with someone else down the road. You know, I think on Facebook, you know, you can check out our page. You'll see that all these people are speaking up. I'm O positive, or, you know, I'm A positive. I can't donate to Matt, but just putting it out there, I would be happy to donate a kidney.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty amazing. You know, you don't really see or hear that. And I think social media has definitely given us a platform to do this. So I'm pretty
wild. Some people don't even know their blood type.
Say it again?
I said some people don't even know their blood type.
A lot of people don't know their blood type. Yeah, and that's pretty much the most common question I've been getting through the Facebook is, you know, how do I know or what do I do? My answer, A, is first call your doctor because he or she might have it on file. Obviously, ask your parents. They might too. But if not, then they need to get a blood test, which happens pretty fast. Our good friend just did it the other day. You know, went to his doctor, said I want to do a blood test to find out my blood type, and I think he got an answer like 2 or 3 days later. So it's pretty simple
for someone to find out their blood type and then to find out if they would be compatible.
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, it's a very important thing.
Exactly. Well, Danielle, we're so happy that we could have you on tonight, and hopefully being on the show will get the word out and possibly, you know, someone will, you know, want to become involved and possibly be a donor.
I would love that more than anything. And even if not, just even if people help us spread the word, then we'll find that person no matter what.
Yeah, you will, definitely.
Exactly.
You will. I think kidneys are the most common transplants. I mean, the easiest to get.
Yeah, it's the most common transplant and the easiest to get because, like you said, you have two, you only need one. So obviously, you know, there are people out there with two and who have issues with one, so they can't donate. But for the most part, it's definitely the easiest organ to get. It's just about, you know, raising awareness and getting to the people who want to donate and sharing your story, and then they relate and they want to do it.
Once again, give out the website where people can look.
Sure. It's needakidney.org, needakidney, KIDNEY.org. There's no spaces or anything, but it's not .com, it's .org.
Okay.
And my email is on there. Anybody who's interested can email me, ask questions, right there.
And if you don't find a donor within the next couple of weeks, please let us know when you come back on again.
Okay, amazing. Thank you so much.
Person. Right?
It only takes one.
She's gone?
Danielle? I think we lost Danielle.
Oh, no. Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back on with someone from Dancing with the Stars. Surprise.
now back to the show with your hosts, Lisa and Betty Ann.
Hello, everyone. We are back, and we are so excited to have as our guest tonight a member of the Dancing with the Stars troupe, professional dancer Sasha Barber. Welcome, Sasha.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Well, we are very excited to have you here tonight. You have an accent, okay? Now, where does that accent originate from?
That's quite funny. Actually, I was born in Russia, Belarus, and migrated to Australia when I was 7. So now I've got a mixture of a bit of Russian and a bit of Australian.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Combo.
It is an interesting combo. Now, were
it's
you recently
very
on vacation? Were you recently on vacation? Because I saw some photos where you were like on a beach, and it looked like you were having, you know, fun. Did you just come back from vacation?
Yes, I was in Hawaii actually for a family holiday, a quick getaway, and that was amazing. Hawaii is absolutely beautiful.
Wow. Now, what type of activities did you like to do there? Are you just kind of like somebody who likes to relax on the beach and get some sun, or like, do you want to surf? Are you like that type of, you know, fun?
Sorry, I had trouble hearing you.
Oh, when you went into Hawaii, were you just relaxing on the beach, or were you surfing? You know, what type of fun did you like to have there?
There was definite relaxation. How can you not relax in Hawaii? I actually had my niece and nephew there, and we had a lot of fun. We had we did parasailing and jet skiing and tube riding and stand-up paddleboarding. That was a bit difficult at the start to find the balance, so we kept going down a few times, but then finally, in the end, managed to figure it out. I was more afraid of the sharks. I kept my eyes out of the sharks because apparently there are a few tiger sharks spotted. So I had my eyes open. Every time I'd snorkel, as soon as I'd go far out, I'd turn straight back around.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Australia, don't they have a lot of sharks in the water?
They do, especially where I live. I live in Bondi, which is a coastal area in the eastern suburbs of Australia. And there's always great sharks spotted around Bondi Beach. But I guess that's something we have to deal with if we get in the water.
I guess. You see, Lisa and I are from New Jersey, and we don't have sharks. We can go to the beach, we can go in the water, and pretty much there's no sharks. We just don't have that problem here. Yeah, maybe an occasional jellyfish, and they're not the kind that sting you, that cause you to be paralyzed, or just those gross squishy ones that you don't want to step on that come up on the beach like that.
Maybe I should move to Jersey.
Yes. You know, everybody makes fun of it, but there's a lot of people living here for a reason, because it's easy to live here. We don't have to worry about a lot of things. It's flat, there's no mountains. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff here. But anyway, I want to get back to you because, you know, we're really excited to talk to you about your dancing career and your being with Dancing with the Stars. And I wanted to find out, how old were you when you first started dancing?
I was turning 14 when I started. It was quite a funny story. I mean, there was a school outside my house, and my mum always used to drag me to school. I wasn't much of a fan of school, but there was always this group of girls always standing outside this building, and I was like, I have to go check this out. I have to. So I kind of went in and checked it out, and all these girls were there. I was like, yeah, I definitely have to do this. So I tried it for like a week, 2 weeks, and it was fun, but I never took it seriously until I did my first competition. And funny, like, everyone was so stressed out and serious of this competition, and then I was just kind of there for the fun of it and the sheer pleasure, and happened to win, and then the next competition won again, so then it became a bit of a competition for me and a bit of a kind of a trophy for me to try and see as many competitions as I could win. And then it got really serious, and then I got chosen to do the World Championships, represent Australia, where I was placed 8th in the world.
Wow.
And then that was fun. And then I became the national champion in Australia. And then, yeah, it just kept, I was very lucky. It kept growing and all these opportunities came out. And we closed the ceremony of the Olympics in 2000 in Sydney, which was a really big thing, alongside some big stars. And then I did Dancing with the Stars in Australia, where I was pro. And then I did a Broadway show and a West End show for a couple of years.
Oh.
Yeah, so I've been lucky in that department. And then just in this break, I did another show where we did a few really cool cities. We did San Francisco and Maine, where we had Dimitri and Peter Murgatroyd with us. And Carlson came and did a few numbers. And Anna Trembunska with Jonathan came and did a few numbers. So we headlined a few of the shows, so which was fun.
Now, how did you become one of the members of the Dancing with the Stars troupe?
Sorry?
How did you become one of the members of the Dancing with the Stars troupe? Like, how did that come about?
Well, I guess I've always wanted to be a regular in Dancing with the Stars, again, since I was a pro on the Australian one, and did a few guest appearances on, like, So You Think You Can Dance and reality TV shows. So I really wanted to be a part of it. And I guess they came to see the show that I was in, and they were looking for someone at the time. I was really, like, at the right time and at the right place. And ever since then, I never looked back. I mean, it's such a great opportunity performing on national television every week. And the best part is I don't get voted off. I stay in the competition. Well, it's not a competition for me, but I don't have to stress every week that I'm going to get eliminated. But I guess, on the other hand, I mean, I wish I'd love to be a pro in the American one. But I think this season is a bit hard because of the All-Stars, so it's a bit hard to get someone new in. But I heard that Shawn Johnson's in the All-Stars, and that would have been awesome to do, because we could do all the flips and tricks. And but she's dancing. I'm not sure who she's dancing with, but whoever she dances with, they're going to be amazing.
Well, how do they pair up the pro dancer with the celebrity for the show? How does it work? I mean, is there like a certain way that they...
Yeah, well, I guess it a lot comes into it. The producers sit down, they look at the dancers' different personalities and the dancers' height. And, I mean, for the All-Stars, I think they're trying to keep it all the same and maybe a few changes, because they've got some recent pros that came out from the troupe. But a lot goes into it. The producers spend hours and hours on matching the couples up and their personalities. And even it gets to the point of to the eye color, the hair color, and if they would work good together. I mean, you can put two people together that would work like not connect. So you need someone to connect. And they do an amazing job at putting people together. They kind of have the right idea after so many seasons.
Well, on the show, who chooses the music that they dance, like that each celebrity and pro dance to each week?
It's quite interesting. The producers have a say and the dancers have a say, but going with the traditional ballroom songs sometimes gets boring, because it's TV. It's a competition, but it's also a TV show. So we want to keep it interesting and exciting. So it's quite recent tracks that we hear in the top 20. It's always good to keep it light and fun and interesting. If you have, you know, an orchestra playing, I mean, it's not that exciting, really. So they try to keep it fresh. And it's, the producers, there's a special group that just works on the music. So they usually get that right all the time. It's the pros that sometimes get frustrated and go, oh, no, how am I going to do a tango to this or a foxtrot to this? But you make it work. You have to. It's television. And that's the exciting part about it.
Well, that's right, because you're pros, so you have to
exactly.
make it work.
Exactly.
Now, what about the costumes? Like, do the pros have, do they design them, or do they have any say in what they wear each week?
Well, yeah, of course, because it goes with the storyline of the dance, and each week the pros try to create a story so the viewers can see. So it's not just steps. There's a storyline and the characterization of the dance. So, and also a theme. So the pros have an insight of it, and they tell the wardrobe designers, who are absolute scientists in what they do. They're such good at what they do. So they kind of give them their idea and what they want to wear, and runs past wardrobe, and then if wardrobe clear it, they decide to, if maybe they need to add a few more things, and then it goes on TV. But the wardrobe is magnificent on the show. I mean, to get through all those couples, each week has to be a new dress and a new design and a new outfit for the man and female. So they've got to go through 12 outfits a week, and usually a normal tailor would go through maybe two a week max, but these guys work day and night. It's amazing how many things the viewers watching don't know that happen from all the insides of it, because, I mean, there's wardrobe and then there's the lighting and the music, and there's so much that goes into it, and at the end of the day it's just an hour episode or 2 hour episode. So much is put into that episode that people don't know about, which is amazing. And that's why they're the number one show.
That's right, because it's a fabulous show to watch, because all the components come together and it's spectacular. I mean, that's why everyone watches it. I mean, we love it. We watch it.
Well, 15 seasons later, 15 seasons later, it's still the number one show, which is great. So they must be doing something right.
Exactly. I have this question, and I mean, you don't have to say a name of a person, but have there ever been, I have to tell you, Corky Ballas was on our show last year, and I asked
him. He's great. He just compared at one of the shows we did. He's a lot of fun, and he's such a nice guy.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice.
And I asked him this question, and he was very honest, and he told us this really funny story. So I'm going to ask you. Have you ever had a wardrobe malfunction while you were performing?
Oh, yeah, of course. That's the fun part of the dancer, really. I mean, I haven't actually had it on this TV show, on the American version, but being on stage on Broadway for so many years in the West End, that's happened so many times when your pants split just in the first number when you're about to go on. Shoelaces rip, which is also the worst when you're in a rush and you're in a quick change and you have maybe a minute to change. You have to quickly run back on, change outfits, change shoes, and you know you want to feel secure in your shoe that you have, so you tie it extra tight, and as you tie it the shoelace rips. That's the worst.
But then again
we come from such a fun bunch that we always prank and we always tie everyone's shoelaces together and sometimes put gel in their shoes. We've had a lot of fun. Mm-hmm.
Which is the hardest dance to learn out of all the dances that they have to do on the show? You know, they do the paso doble and which is the absolute hardest to learn?
I think samba is quite a hard one out of the five Latin dances, because of the bounce action that you have. It's because the cha-cha comes from, you know, straight legs and checking. It's quite easy to learn there, and also the other four dances. But I think samba, because it has a bounce action, you have to teach someone who's never danced before what a bounce action is, which could be quite difficult. And then I'd say in the ballroom numbers, the hardest one would be the foxtrot, because of the rise and fall. The other dances are quite grounded when it comes to to what you're asking, but I think the hardest would be definitely the samba, and out of the ballroom would be the foxtrot.
Okay, cool.
But that's the best part, actually teaching someone and seeing them improve and learn and use all the information you're trying to tell them. And at the end of the day, seeing them perform something is really rewarding, because you know how hard it is to train and to learn all that information, because it takes years for us and they have to do it within a week. So when you see someone absorb so quickly, absorb pretty much like a sponge, it's a great reward.
Now, let's face it, some of the best dancers get voted off. Is that frustrating to a professional dancer like you? Like, oh my
Sorry?
God. It's like a popularity contest. Like, this person shouldn't have got voted off. They were so good.
Yeah, I think it all...
You wish it was just really strictly by the dancing, by the judges, more so than the popularity contest?
Yeah, well, I mean, it wouldn't be a show without all that. It's up to the... You need to create a story, a character in the dance. I mean, what happens is steps are just storyline. And I think you have to create a dance on the storyline. I mean, it's horrible, but it is. And you know how much work all the pros put into it. And
Sasha? Sasha,
yes.
We're having a problem hearing you.
Okay, sorry.
Go ahead. I'll ask a question. Okay, Lisa. Okay, finish what you were saying, because we had difficulty hearing you. You were talking about the voting and all that.
I guess that makes it more dramatic every week.
Yeah, it's just so sad to see good dancers leave when they put so much hard work into it, but... That's competition, and at the end of the day, it wouldn't be the number one rated show if it wasn't controversial.
Right. Go ahead, Ann. Did you have something else to ask?
Yeah, I do. What is your favorite memory from Dancing with the Stars?
My favorite memory. Well, I really, really enjoyed the trio that we did with Chelsea and Rashawn. Where I had to put in some my own input and help Rashawn in using the character of the dance and building the dance. And I think that was a fun one to do because there was three of us in the dance instead of two, and there was a new thing and then they were trying it out, and it was definitely one of my fondest moments.
And I have one other thing to ask you. Because you dance for a living, and that's your career,
yes.
When you get a chance to go out, do you ever go out dancing?
Are you asking me out on a date?
No. I mean, if you're in New York sometime, we could come meet you and say hello.
Yeah, I'd love that. No, I mean of course, dancing is so much fun, and that's why I don't count it as a job or as a living, because I enjoy it so much. I mean, a lot of people go to work and they hate waking up. It's like, oh, I got to wake up in the morning, go to work.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm lucky because my job is, I'd love to wake up and go and teach and dance. So I don't really call it a job, but to answer your question, if we do go out, definitely go dancing, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know, Lisa and I, we're former NFL cheerleaders, so we love to dance.
Ah, you'd love to dance, and you should try ballroom dancing.
That's
I'll have to teach you one day.
Okay. Someday. If you ever come out on the East Coast?
I'm there.
Oh. Okay.
No, I mean I will definitely be there.
Okay. That'll be great. We would love that, Sasha. And we enjoyed so much talking to you tonight.
If there's any more questions you want me to answer, just let me know, because I love talking and being interviewed, definitely.
Why don't we have you on once the season starts again? You know, during the season.
Definitely. I can give you guys some insight on what's going on.
Yes, why don't you do that? You can come on every week and tell us a little bit what's going on at the beginning of the show if you want.
Yeah, definitely. I can give you the weekly review.
Yeah, no, because we do that with The Bachelor. We have Jesse come on, and he tells us, you know, he discusses The Bachelor or The Bachelorette to give us an update and the behind the scenes and all that kind of fun stuff. So we'll be in touch about that. How's that sound?
That sounds perfect.
And we'll give you a permanent place on our that you're our contributor about Dancing with the Stars. So we'll be in touch.
Definitely. Thank you for chatting with me. It's been great.
Thank you so much.
And if there's any more stuff you need, just let me know.
Well, you're lovely. We'll be in touch. Have a good day.
All right.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Till our next dance lesson.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
What a cutie is he.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, we had a
really
tonight.
Nice.
A really good show tonight.
Yeah.
We'd like to thank
yeah.
Deborah Lipman and Danielle Gotti and, of course, Sasha from Dancing with the Stars. So good night, Betty Ann. It's been fun.
Good night, Lisa.
And we'll see you next week, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Kisses to everybody. Good night. Bye.